She's gonna die. I'm gonna die. Everybody dies.
Carl, look at me.
You're going to die. 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 You're going to die.
Help! This patient is 5150. He needs to be restrained.
She's going to die. I'm going to die. They're going to die.
Paris, look at me.
You're gonna die. You're gonna die. You're gonna die.
That was our dramatic reenactment of the scene from Smile.
Paris, I
be
feel
impressed. I feel like you could have put a little more ussy into that.
I could have put a little more ussy into that.
That was kind of weak.
Yeah, it was kind of
weak. I was
weak.
Hoping you'd like really go for it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, dang.
I could have.
So, what are we talking about today, Paris?
Smile.
So, I saw that in theaters. I really liked it. You watched it with me for the first time. What'd you think?
A couple times.
Yes.
Actually.
Okay.
Okay.
Excuse me. Sorry.
Okay. I liked it.
It's a good movie. So, it was initially going to be named There's Something Wrong with Rose.
I actually kind of like that.
Really? I kind of hate it.
I like it.
I think I'm glad that they didn't name it that.
I like the name Smile.
I think
but
Smile
I kinda,
is more fitting.
But I do like what's wrong with Rose?
There's something wrong with Rose or something like that.
That kind of sounds like, actually it kind of sounds like a romantic comedy almost.
Oh yeah, like there's something about Mary.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with Rose.
Maybe if Smile was like a romantic
was a
comedy.
Rom-com?
It was a rom-com. Then that name would be fitting.
So what's interesting about this one is it's a low-budget movie. It was only $17 million to make, which is considered low-budget. And it was initially only going to be released on streaming through Paramount. But they did a test screening of it, and it did so well that it was put into theaters.
Oh.
And it did really, really well in theaters, too. It held its position in the box office for almost as long as Get Out, I think.
Really?
Yeah. And I guess
now they're making a sequel.
I know, which is we're doing this in honor of or in anticipation of the sequel. But what they did for PR before the movie came out was they would have a few actors go to baseball games and to the Today Show.
I remember that.
Yeah, and they would just have them smiling creepily where a camera would catch them.
I kind of love that, though. I really fuck with that.
That's pretty smart. I wonder, do you remember when there was clowns everywhere?
Yes, for like the movie It.
Was that for It?
Well, that's what they were saying. I don't think it was ever confirmed that any of these were for It.
Or maybe there's just a mysterious clown gang.
I did think it was really weird that this did happen like right when It was supposed to come out.
I choose to believe it's just a weird clown posse.
I think it is.
Maybe it was Juggalos.
Because it's not like afterwards, after the movie came out, they were like, oh yeah, this was PR. Like nobody came out and said that, so.
But one of the criticisms I did see of this movie was that it was too similar to It Follows. Can you see that?
I mean, I can see it, like, I guess the concept.
Right, you have this mysterious creature, this entity that only your main character can see, and
you pass it on.
Yeah, you do pass it on, exactly. Yeah. But, and I feel like that's fair, but I feel like this is a really good example of, yeah, you can have common themes in a movie, but tonally it's very different.
Oh,
your characters are very different. The concept, I mean, aside from that core,
I find Smile did it better.
I think I like them both the same, but I do think, you know, there's a genre of masked murderers, you know? You have Michael Myers, you have Jason Voorhees, you have Leatherface, Scream.
And nobody's like, those movies are like this movie.
Right, because you are able to differentiate enough. So sure, it's in the same sort of vein, I guess you could say. But I feel like this is a really good job of taking a concept that has been used before. And honestly, you'd be really hard-pressed to find a concept that hasn't been used to some degree.
Oh, yeah.
So, but I think they did a really good job with this one, and I'm really excited for Smile 2.
Same, and it has Kevin Bacon's daughter in it.
No, well, not the next one.
Not the next one, but I'm talking about the first movie.
It does have,
and she's
Kira
really
Sedgwick,
good in it.
And I really like her.
She's really good. She's a good mix of both of her parents.
But the boyfriend in this movie is coming back for Smile 2.
Yeah. Do you think he's going to die right away?
Yeah.
Yeah, sad.
Okay, here's what I'm hoping for. I really like that actor because he was in Jennifer's Body.
He was in Jennifer's Body.
I think he's done a few other horror movies too.
Yeah.
But I'm really hoping that he pulls through and survives the movie because I've seen a trailer for Smile 2. And so it's centered around a girl, a different girl. And I hope he walks her through it. I hope he survived and walks her through it. But we're going to see it in theaters when it comes out.
Yes.
So we'll let you know. Are we going to
feast like kings?
We will feast like kings.
Hell yeah.
Yes, we'll get our movie theater nachos with the chili from the, what is it even called? The machines the from machine. A chili machine.
Chili machine. The chili I won't dispenser. Drop it this time. It's going to be so
that
fun.
That wasn't on you. That wasn't on no. you. It was the movie ticket guy's fault. He saw our hands were full, and he's like, yeah, here's your receipt.
Here's,
and
we were take like, this, take this ticket.
We were like, no, we don't want that. And he's like, take it!
And that's exactly how he said it, too.
Yeah.
And he made me drop my nachos.
And then when I went to go get another thing of nachos, the woman was like, well, where's your other thing of nachos that you dropped?
They cleaned it up, bitch!
They cleaned it up. Why, you want me to pick it up off the ground and scoop the nacho cheese and the nacho chili back into it and return it to you? I can do that, sure.
Sure, if you wish.
If that's what you want. If that's what it takes for me to get my nacho replacement, I will do it. Well, anyway, without further ado, let's get into
Smile.
You're going to die. 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 You're going to die.
The movie opens on a dead woman lying in bed. Next to it, we see a pile of pills and a picture of a seemingly happy family. We get to the doorway and see a little girl.
A little girl?
Who is it? What happened? In an office, a woman wakes up. And this is the little girl. Her name is Rose, and she works at an emergency psych ward and goes to talk to a client who's been muttering to himself. She does her best to talk to help him and talk him down, and that she tells him what he's feeling isn't real and can't hurt him.
What a bitch.
What?
No, well, I'm kidding. How dare you tell these crazy people that what they're thinking isn't real?
You know,
I mean, but maybe
sometimes we need to talk each other down.
We do.
Sometimes,
but,
like, I'll be like, did that person look at me funny? And you say, no, Hannah.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
They didn't look at you funny.
But, I mean, maybe in this universe, maybe these guys are actually seeing something, you know?
Maybe. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
It's possible.
So.
But it's, you know, it's irony. Irony.
Irony.
So we get the impression that she cares deeply about helping people, and she's a bit of a workaholic.
Okay, what's up with these scary movies and, like, taking therapists or psychologists or whatever they are, and they're, like, really in, like, a little too into their job?
You have to be, I think.
I mean, yeah, I see
what
that.
What if you were a half-assed, like, psychiatrist? That'd be a bummer.
Well, that's what happens in real life.
That's true. That's
in
true.
In movies, the psychiatrists are really
like
into
her
it.
If she was not good at what she does.
That's true.
And also, her boss is, what's his name, Cal Penn from Harold and Kumar?
Oh, yeah. Isn't he gay?
What?
Isn't he gay?
What?
Right?
What? What are you saying?
Is it that guy gay?
Oh, all I heard was, isn't he gay? Like, what? What are you saying to me? I don't know. Maybe
I thought that
you should
guy
look
was
it
gay.
Up. Either I
you,
like him.
Do you want me to look
gay or not? I like him.
I can look past his flaws.
I can look past. Just kidding.
We're not homophobic, I promise.
You might need to edit that out.
I might.
Isn't he gay? No, he wasn't. Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. Did you ever see that movie?
No.
Well, it was good. Later, she's going to see a new patient, and a nurse tells her that a week ago she witnessed her professor bludgeon himself with a hammer.
Oh, that sucks.
I hate that.
I wouldn't want to watch that.
She enters the room with a client, with this client, who is a young woman and is clearly terrified. The young woman insists that she isn't crazy and tries to explain that she's seeing something that no one else can.
Oh, but I need you to understand, I'm a PhD candidate. I'm not some lunatic, okay?
Let's just take a breath and you could just tell me what's going on.
I'm seeing something. Something no one else can see except for me. I know how insane that sounds. I do, but it's this thing, I can't explain it.
What is it you're seeing?
It looks like people, but it's not a person.
I'm not sure I understand.
It looks like people. It looks like different people. Sometimes it pretends to be someone that I know. Sometimes it's a random stranger. Sometimes it looks like my grandfather who died in front of me when I was 7. It's like it wears people's faces like masks.
And she says it looks like people, but it's not a person, and that sometimes it looks like people she knows. And she's also like, you know, I'm trying to get my college degree, my PhD or something. You know, I'm really educated. I know this sounds crazy, but I'm seeing something. I'm having an experience. What did you Googling?
He is gay.
Oh, cool.
And it said that he has a fiancé.
Do we know who it is?
A man fiancé. His name's Josh. No.
Ah, wow. Huh. Anyway, Rose asks her what happened, and Rose asks her what happens when she sees it, and the woman tells her it just smiles at her. She tells her it causes things to happen around her. She tells her she's going to die, and no one is listening to her. She looks away for a second, and looks back at Rose, and she says it's here. Rose calls for help. She starts screaming, and then that's why Rose calls for help, and looks at the young woman, who is now smiling and holding a piece of broken glass. Ooh. She knocked over, like, a vase or something. She didn't just materialize this broken glass.
She just grabbed this glass from the other world.
She uses that piece of glass to slit her own throat right in front of Rose. Later, she has to talk to the cops, and one of them is her ex-boyfriend. The guy we like.
God, he's so hot.
He is. He's cute. And I like him in this movie.
Yes, me too.
I like him in everything he does.
Me too.
He's kind of a horror king.
And he was, he was hot in Jennifer's body too. I ain't gonna lie.
But. You know what? He was even hotter in Jennifer's body.
He was.
No, you know, well, for you anyway. That's more of a type.
Yeah.
That's more. Rose heads home, and she's pretty shaken up. She pours herself a glass of wine and looks across the room and sees a smiling figure lurking in the dark. Her fiancé gets home, and suddenly the figure disappears. She tells him what happened that day, and he says maybe they should cancel the dinner plans they've made with her sister. But she declines, because she's like, you know how my sister is. Boy, do I.
Yeah.
I know what that's like.
Yeah, same.
At dinner, her sister, who seems like a nightmare, asks if she's going to be at her 7-year-old's birthday party. She also asks when she's going to sell their childhood home, which upsets Rose.
Bitch, get out of my fucking business.
And also,
if I don't want to sell that childhood home.
But in her defense, she should go to her nephew's birthday party.
Yes, she should.
I mean,
she should definitely go to her nephew's.
Knowing what I know now, she shouldn't have gone to her nephew's birthday party.
Yeah, no.
But... And in any other scenario, you should go to your nephew's birthday party.
I would go to my nephew's birthday party.
At work the next day, she asks a nurse if she can send her a report of the previous incident with the young woman that she hadn't been involved in prior. Does that make sense?
The lady that slit herself?
Yeah, but she wants to know more about the professor.
Yes.
Who bludgeoned himself with the hammer.
Yes, yes.
Her ex-boyfriend also shows up to check on her and asks her how she is after what she witnessed. Isn't that thoughtful?
That's so nice. And you know what? I'm not going to lie. Her whack-ass husband kind of
It's her fiancé.
Oh, well, whatever. Husband-to-be. Her fiancé. Kind of like she goes through this traumatic experience and he's like, why are you acting weird?
Well,
why are you like, I don't
you know,
I don't fuck with them.
I hope she and her ex-boyfriend end up together again
in the afterlife. Oh wait, that's a spoiler.
That's a spoiler. Shut up, Paris. So she begins investigating the case of the young woman and discovers her professor who had killed himself in front of her was smiling. She walks past the male patient from earlier who has a disturbing smile on his face. She tries to talk to him, but he continues to smile and tells her, you're gonna die. You're gonna die. You're
She's gonna die. Die. He's gonna die. You're gonna die.
You're gonna die.
You're gonna die.
You're gonna die.
You're gonna die.
Everybody's gonna die.
Everybody's gonna die. Fuck. He just turns into Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah. That's the real nightmare. She's the real monster.
True.
After this incident, her boss tells her she needs to take a week off. While at home, her security alarm goes off, and she sees that her back door is ajar.
Yeah, it is.
She gets a call from the security company. The lady on the phone asks her if she's alone, and then asks her if she's sure. and to look behind her.
Uh-oh. Are you sure no one entered your back door? Sure no one's in there?
Did you leave your back door ajar? People can get in that way. To your back door.
Yeah. Don't let them get stuck.
The phone rings again, and it's suddenly not in her hand. She answers it, and it is the real security company. The cops come over and tell her there's nothing there. Well, that thanks for the fucking help.
Thanks, cop. Well, someone could have been there.
Yeah. You know what? That's so cop.
They could have left, but then you're like, no, you're crazy.
Yeah, maybe they left when the cop showed up.
Yeah, cop. You didn't think of that.
Her fiancé comes home and is being a snooty asshole and is acting like she's crazy. She also can't find her cat. She had a cat and she can't find it.
Where did the cat go?
Her puss went out the back door. That night she can't sleep.
Because her puss went out the back door?
Yeah. I can't sleep either.
When that happens. My puss just... in the back door.
I can't find my puss. Use the back door.
Okay. That's not even funny.
Okay. That night, she can't sleep and reviews the recording that she took when the... Ow, fuck, my makeup's in my eyes now because I was crying. From laughing at my dumb joke. Ow, hold on. That night, she can't sleep and reviews the recording that she took when she was talking to the young lady. She hears a weird sound on the recording when a scary figure jumps out of the dark at her. She screams and grabs a knife, but just then her fiancé comes to check on her and again thinks she's crazy.
And he just thinks that she's some crazy white lady now.
What a snooty little asshole.
How are they even engaged? Because these people have no chemistry.
That's true.
Like, he just seems like, yeah...
Yeah, they're just there. You know, they're just a couple attractive people who have good jobs, and they're like, we should be together.
He's like, I guess I'll go in your back door.
The next day, she talks to her therapist. She tells her she feels stuck on this client, and her therapist asks her if it is actually about witnessing her mom's suicide.
She pulled that out of her ass.
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, thanks.
Thanks for bringing that up.
You think my trauma has something to do with this? Thanks.
Also, demons aside, this girl saw someone kill themselves right in front of her, and the therapist is like, it must be because your mom died.
I know. Everyone's like, oh, you saw someone killed himself in front of you.
Oh, boo-hoo.
Oh, that sucks.
That sucks, Rose.
That's too bad.
That's too bad.
Maybe it's because you're dead, Mom. She tells the therapist she's been seeing and hearing things, and she thinks it's a symptom of post-traumatic stress. You think? She goes to her nephew's birthday party. Big mistake.
Big mistake.
Big mistake. And when it's time to open the present, the little boy opens the gift from Rose, and it's her...
And it's her pussy.
It's her dead cat. It's her dead puss.
It's her lip puss.
Sorry. During the commotion, she tries to tell everyone that it wasn't her. Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. It wasn't me, really. That dead cat? And I did not pack that.
She notices a guest is staring at her and smiling, and she just seems batshit. And she trips and falls on a glass table and cuts up her arms really bad. Man, talk about insult to injury. You know, kick her while she's down.
She does look like a crazy bitch.
Yeah. Later, her fiancé drives her home, and she tries to tell him what's happening to her, but he doesn't believe her, and again acts like she's crazy, and says he can't deal with her, and that he's like,
I'm so tired of you gifting your dead pussy to these kids.
He's like, wait, your mom was crazy. Can't mental illness be genetic?
Oh, eat my ass.
Eat my ass. You know what? I have a schizophrenic uncle, and I'm fine, okay?
And he's part of my family,
too. Do I think people give me weird looks sometimes, but they're really not? Yeah, maybe.
But that has nothing to do with it.
But that has nothing to do with the long history of mental illness in my family, okay?
Come on.
Shit. And also, it's like, again, she saw someone cut her own throat in front of her.
This has nothing to do with my dead mom. Like, stop bringing her up.
I mean, in the long term, like, of the story... It kind of does.
It's brought up, but like if this was real life and like I witnessed something traumatic and they were like, it's your dead mom, right?
Yeah.
Like, no. No, it's not my dead mom.
So she begins to investigate into the death of the professor and she heads to his house to talk to his wife, and she pretends to be a reporter. His wife begins to describe everything that Rose has been experiencing. She shows Rose all of the professor's drawings of scary, smiling faces. She asks his wife, when did it start, and she says it had been at the conference a week earlier, where he witnessed a woman kill herself. She heads back to her ex-boyfriend's apartment and asks for his help. He has access to the police database and is able to find out about the suicide the professor had witnessed.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, that's also very that's convenient. Crazy. Yeah. They also learn that that woman had witnessed a suicide, and she compiles all the evidence to show her fiancé, but when she gets home, her fiancé and her therapist are waiting for her.
Does nobody question why, like, a slew of suicides happen?
And also, like, these are seemingly sane people, too.
Yeah. And it's not like these happen months in advance. It seems like it happens like within the week.
Is when they see another suicide?
Yeah. When they see a suicide, and then like a week later they suicide, and then a week later the other person suicides.
And also in cray cray way.
In very cray cray way. Some guy just took some hatchet and just fucking impaled himself. I don't know the words.
She calls his ass out and says he can't handle anything ruining his perfect life. If you can't handle me at my worst,
you don't deserve me at my best.
She leaves and heads to her sister's. She tries to tell her sister she's been cursed, and again tries to show her the evidence of all these suicides happening, but she doesn't want to see it. Her sister tells her that she's becoming like her mom, and her sister then tells her to get lost and stay away.
Get lost, bitch.
Scram! 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 That night, she gets a call from her ex-boyfriend. Does her ex-boyfriend have a name? Yes, he does. It's Joel.
You know what? He is a Joel.
He's so a Joel.
Yeah.
He says the line goes back even further and that there's a pattern. He says only one person didn't die. He tells her this man is in prison and has witnessed a suicide, then killed someone else 4 days later. But after that person, the pattern continued. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So the man, there's a whole line of suicides.
But this man killed somebody.
And then a few days later, a person who saw that murder survived.
Yeah.
Loophole? Poophole, loophole?
Oh? How'd you figure that out?
She tells Joel, yeah. Well, you know, okay, hold on. We'll burn that bridge when we cross it. She tells Joel what happened, and he's the first person who doesn't immediately shut her down.
You know? Well, because the line of suicides is weird, and I would start to question, be like,
that's weird.
This is something's going on here.
I'd believe you. Thanks.
Yeah, I'd be like, because I know you.
But and we might also just be two delusional girls.
Yeah.
That's the danger of it.
The Salulu is being Delulu.
She asks him how long between each person, and he tells her 4 days to a week. They head to the prison to talk to the survivor. She asks the man why he's the only one that didn't die. He tells her there's a loophole in which if you kill someone in front of another, it skips you. He says it spreads through trauma.
What do you want from me, huh?
What is it?
I don't know.
Why is it that everybody else who's seen it is dead and you're alive? Why, please? Mr. Tally, you can help her, okay? Please.
I tried to research anything and everything I could about this thing. There's been other chains in the past. Found one that was in Brazil a few years ago. A man there escaped that chain by killing his neighbor and passing it to his neighbor's wife. Your patient is going to die unless she kills someone. That's the only way you can get rid of it. The only way. She has to make sure there's a witness for it to pass to, because this thing needs trauma to spread. That's what gives it power. Trauma. Your patient has to make it count.
And the other thing that I found interesting is that I didn't say this, but each person, like when she goes to the ex-husband's house, or the husband of the professor, Jesus Christ, the wife of the professor who died, he saw his brother die and never got over it. And then Laura, the young woman in the beginning of the movie who died, she also mentioned like her grandpa dying in front of her.
So
they have existing trauma.
So it's not as like...
Maybe it's easier.
Easier,
for
yeah.
For whatever this is, this entity to get inside you.
That would make sense.
Get inside your back door.
Because my pussy ran away.
That's enough.
I'm sorry.
Later at home, Rose's doorbell rings and it's her therapist and she wants to talk. She lets her in and the phone rings and she answers and it's her therapist.
How are you feeling today?
Let me think. I'm pretty sure my fiance thinks I'm crazy. My sister has just totally shut me out. And now my former therapist is making unannounced house calls to ensure that I am not a danger. So other than that, I'm really good.
Should you get that?
What?
Rose? It's Madeline. I've been trying your mobile all morning. I'm very concerned about how we left things yesterday. Rose? Are you there?
Oh, no.
Almost time, Rose.
She looks at the therapist sitting across from her, and it begins to smile. And then it starts chasing after her.
This actress has the weirdest smile.
Well, that's not ever. Nice.
Am I wrong?
Well, they're supposed to smile like that.
No,
that
I
was
know.
Instructed to
no,
them by
I
the
know,
director.
Okay, but compared to the other people who were smiling, she kind of looked like she
kind of got
shit.
She kind of got that British smile.
Yeah, it was all teeth. It was like, it was weird.
Anyway, the not therapist tells her it's almost time. Okay, we flash to another scene. We don't know how that scene ends. Rose goes to the emergency psych ward with a knife. She heads to her male client's room. I think it's kind of fucked up that she's like, that's who I'm going to kill.
Yeah.
Like, what? What the
fuck? Also, that's her work. Wait, she would be arrested after that anyway. But I was going to say that's her workplace and it would just cycle through.
Well, so. I don't know. Would you rather go to prison or suicide yourself in a really terrible way?
I guess prison. I heard prison isn't even that bad.
So you're okay with killing someone?
No.
Is what you're saying?
I mean, I guess if I got it, I would do what she should have done and killed myself with nobody around, so.
Okay, do you know what I would do?
What?
I'd Chris Hansen this shit. I would find my local registered sex offenders.
Yes, you
find
know
a
what, you're so
them,
right.
Find a couple of them, lure them somewhere, and I'd set it up real, real nice, like Jigsaw, you know? And then, you know, kill one in front of the other in a really gruesome way. And I wouldn't even feel bad about it.
That's fair. You're so right.
I wouldn't even feel bad about it. Or yeah, your other option is to just kill yourself when no one's
around.
I
do like your idea better because then you can kill sex offenders. And
yeah.
You know what?
And
we
then
can
you're
rid
not
them
killing,
of the world.
You're not killing anyone who, you know.
Matters.
Matters.
Yeah.
Exactly. She heads to her male client's room and he begins to scream.
It's okay.
No.
It's okay.
No. Rose, what are you doing here?
I don't know.
Rose, you can't be around patients.
Her boss shows up. She stabs her male client repeatedly, and her boss rips her face off. Cal Penn, gay Cal Penn, rips his face off, and she wakes up in front in her car from the nightmare. She decides she can't kill anyone, and she's going to isolate herself. That's a good idea. She goes to her childhood home. While in her home, she has a flashback, and she's a kid and goes into her mom's room, and her mom is drugged and dying, and her mom's like, I made a mistake, and please call the cops, but Rose is like, nah.
Nah, son. That's a no from me,
that
dog.
Sounds like a you problem. And so she leaves the room and shuts the door behind her, leaving her mom to die. Back to present day, Rose seems to have hatched a plan. She waits for the entity to show up, and hears a door creak. She follows the noise and hears crying coming from her mother's bedroom. It's her mom, and she seems normal. She tells her she's sorry she's not a good mom, and she asks Rose why she let her die. And Rose is like, yeah, you were pretty awful.
You're pretty awful. You're pretty awful. I was so, fucking 11.
Yeah, and she, Rose knows it's not real and asks the an entity why it's doing it to her, and it says her mind is so inviting. The mom, like Creature, grows bigger and scarier and attacks Rose. It tells her she can't escape her own mind, and Rose says it's her mind and then sets her on fire with a lantern. She escapes the house, which is now inflamed, engulfed in flames, and heads to Joel's. She tells him she's sorry and gives a speech about how she kept him at a distance in their relationship and pushed him away and asks if she can stay there while she sleeps. He says of course she can stay and that he'll stay with her forever and begins to smile.
Oh, no. She runs out the door. It was all a lie.
And she's back at the house. I wish it ended.
I know. That would have been the good ending, but we got the bad ending.
She's back at the house that she thought she had escaped, but she hadn't. Joel shows up and she goes back in the house and he starts kicking at the door. Joel hears her scream and kicks the door open and he sees a smiling Rose set herself on fire.
That's a horrible way to die. Do you think she can like feel it? You think these people can feel it? Yeah, I do. When they're killing themselves?
Yeah.
That would suck.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to possess my body and use me as your circle jerk chain.
I wish Joel would have looked away.
Yeah. He stared. He watched.
Although, in all fairness, I think I probably would, too.
Yeah.
I'd be like, whoa.
But, like, he knows that if he watches a suicide.
He knows what's happening.
He'll be a suicide. And he should have just looked away.
He should have. But you know what? He's a cop.
Don't.
He can kill a criminal.
Don't die,
easily.
Joel. You're too hot.
He can kill. I think, and this is. I hope the movie considers this. He can kill again a sex offender. He can find a
but
sex offender.
But he doesn't know that because she didn't
tell
him.
Oh, that's right. She didn't tell him.
So he doesn't know.
Oh, fuck. Well, Oh, yeah. That sucks. Well, maybe.
Yeah, maybe he'll figure it out.
Maybe he accidentally kills someone.
Maybe.
Because he's a cop.
You know what? He can do investigation skills and being like, oh, this one person. Because he does know.
Yeah, he can put two and two together. Let's use the power of deductive reasoning here.
Yeah.
Joel, you're a smart guy. You know
and
one
you're a
guy
cop,
lived.
And you probably won't even go to jail if and you he kill
could,
somebody.
Yeah, exactly. And he could go talk to that guy again and be like, yo. I mean,
what's
that guy.
Up?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But yeah. He could just figure it out. I think I could figure it out, maybe.
Yeah, I'll try it just for, like, research.
But this is just a really good opportunity to kill pedophiles.
Yeah.
You know?
You use this for good.
For good.
Yeah.
And that's that smile.
What a good movie.
What a good movie.
What a good movie. What a good movie.
Yeah, it's good. I hope Joel survives. I guess we'll see. That's my prediction is he's probably gonna die. That's my prediction. I hope not.
I don't want him to either because I could definitely watch more of him. But.
It would be really, really cool if, like, in the movie, halfway through, he shows up, you know?
just out
he
of
just
nowhere.
Appears, yeah.
He just appears.
And then he helps her live.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
Maybe he doesn't end up killing somebody, so.
Who knows? I hope so.
I could watch more of him.
Anyway, I gotta get back to work at the psych ward.
Yeah, this weird bitch is like smiling at me in the corner, so I gotta take care of that.